You know, the banking system, as currently configured and operated, is a ticking time bomb. And we saw the board of directors from, what, last November, whatever it was, at the FDIC, saying, yeah, we know that bank closures are coming and bank bail-ins are coming and people's money is going to disappear, but we just can't tell the public, you know. I don't want to let people know that that might be happening because, of course, they might panic. Unintended consequences. So let's just keep that under wraps for now. But then, of course, the video got out about that, and a lot of people understand that this is exactly what's about to happen. And it's not even, the big issue isn't just that people's money is going to disappear. Life savings, pension funds, checking accounts, you know, business checking, cash flow, everything. That it will all vanish, in essence, because it will be inaccessible. The banks will simply take possession of it, so it vanishes from the customer's point of view. But that's not even the biggest issue. The issue is what happens to society in the aftermath of that. The issue is what happens when people can't buy food and people can't buy gasoline and grocery stores can't take deliveries of food because, well, the transaction system doesn't work and also the food stamp system doesn't work. And think about the hyper-privileged, typical American that's on food stamps right now believing that the government owes them this money and that if they don't get that money, oh, they're going to tear something down. And, you know, they're going to set fire to something. They're going to wreck the retail establishments. And so that's what you're going to see are mobs all over the cities trashing everything, every retailer, every restaurant in some areas where you have the most, you know, radical left-wing groups of people. Those areas will be hit like this, and they'll just go door to door tearing up or burning down everything they can. Obviously, don't be in those areas. But then the question becomes, what will people turn to? Because in rural areas especially, people will still need to buy and sell and trade. And while the currency is on life support because the banking system is frozen, people will find ways, local ways, to trade. They're going to trade because it's a natural human thing. It's an organic process to trade with your neighbor because obviously you might have chickens or chicken eggs and your neighbor might have beef or might know how to load ammunition or what have you. So people are going to trade, even services and so on. Your neighbor might be a plumber, whereas you know how to change a tire. Who knows? Of course, in the cities, in the woke cities, nobody knows how to change a tire. So there will be no services offered other than maybe prostitution and you know, like drugs, street drugs and things like that. But in rural areas, there will be practical things that people can barter. And so that's the very first thing that's going to spring out of this is barter. People will barter garden vegetables, garden seeds, chickens and chicken eggs and beef. And they'll barter gasoline and diesel fuel, which is also why it's a good idea to have extra, right? They'll barter engine oil. They'll barter tires and firearms and ammunition and everything that you can imagine. And that will keep a lot of people going for quite some time because especially more practical-minded, rural-living people, they can get by in hard times much better than sort of mostly city people who are dependent on the system, who go buy food, you know, every other day and they don't have much of a pantry and they don't really know how to do anything, or they just order Uber Eats or something. They just eat out all the time. They don't really have the practical skills. So you're going to see a very strong polarization in the after effects of this. You're going to see some areas that will do okay. They will turn to barter. And then other areas that will be in a state of total collapse and chaos and lawlessness. And obviously, those areas will not be survivable by a lot of people, and you don't want to be anywhere near those areas. Now, it won't take long before you start to see silver in this scenario. You'll see cash at first. You know, some people still have some cash, but the cash won't go very far. It won't last very long because there's just not enough cash in circulation to handle all the need of buying and selling and trading. So you're going to start to see pre-1965 coins, which are the 90% silver coins, roughly. Quarters, dimes, nickels, and so on. And then you're going to see silver rounds or 1 ounce silver coins. And you'll also start to see various renditions of gold coins. you'll have 1 ounce gold coins, half ounce, you know, quarter ounce, 1/10 ounce, and so on. You will see this more and more frequently. And people will become more and more familiar with gold and silver, although it'll take a little bit of time. But very quickly, these alternative systems of money and commerce will begin to be embraced. And in some areas, like, of course, let's say left-wing cities, they will try to outlaw gold and silver and, of course, ammunition and so on, which I guess they've already outlawed open trade of that in California. And this will cause their citizens to be left in a helpless and hopeless situation. More chaos, more suffering, more destitution, as the government promises to rescue you. Here, have this digital money or whatever, so they can spy on you. But in more free states, i.e. Texas and Florida and so on, or rural areas, let's say East California or North California, Eastern Oregon, Eastern Washington, and so on, you're going to have people that say, you know, screw the whatever laws that the Capitol says far away. We have to survive here in Eastern Oregon. And we're going to have to barter with each other. We're going to use gold and silver and ammo and everything else. And, you know, they're going to survive that way. They're going to get by. So this day is coming. It is coming. It's critical to have the supplies that you need to be able to barter. And in terms of ammo, by the way, 22 long rifle ammo is the most basic, you know, 22 LR or 9mm ammo, or frankly, 5.56 that can be used in standard AR-15s, or 223, which is not the same, but it's still very practical. It can be used in AR-15s as well. But make sure you've got things to barter with. It could be garden seeds. It could be gold and silver. It could be power tools. I'm actually a big fan of having power tools that are battery powered, because you can charge those batteries with off-grid solar systems, you know, solar power stations or solar generators, as they're sometimes called. You can charge power tools, and those power tools, they'll be traded like money. If you want physical gold and silver, check out our sponsor in that area, the Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company. You can find them at metalswithmike.com. And check out their prices. They have real-time prices published on their website that are updated in real time. As gold and silver move up and down, you can, you know, check the affordability, insured discreet delivery, and get some of that physically in your possession. And right now, I would recommend the junk silver coins, because that's what's going to be used in a barter situation more than anything else, because it's a small denomination. You can buy or sell or trade something like a loaf of bread or a quart of oil or a gallon of, you know, diesel fuel or what have you. So just get prepared in every way you can, and watch more of my videos at prepwithmike.com. Thank you for listening. Get ready. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, also naturalnews.com and brighteon.com. Take care.